It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And today, the United States House of Representatives is saying, Liz who? The daughter of a very popular vice president, absolutely one of the most effective vice presidents in history, went down in flames in a landslide primary defeat. Liz Cheney didn't get the message. She blew it. I mean, she blew what could have been a tremendous career, but she is cooked. But now she's putting a new group together, and she's going to be calling it the Great Task. Yeah, which is a phrase from the Gettysburg Address. And the task of the Great Task is singular, anti-Trump. Anti-Trump, anti-Trump. And she's even thinking about running for the presidency. But how does she do that? As a Republican? Her party doesn't support her. They want nothing to do with her. As a Democrat? Well, okay, that could be a gigantic load of hypocrisy on her end. Might even affect the reputation of her father. But although at his age, I'm probably sure he doesn't give a rat's rear end. Yeah, I don't know what she has against Donald Trump. I mean, it's almost like personal. And again, I allude to when Mark Capitan, who was just with, you know, the last show, and I went to Washington, D.C., and we were in the minority leader's office doing the program because I told you Nancy Pelosi barred Ray Appleton from the Capitol radio station. And she came in with a great representative from New York. That girl is going to be president someday. At least Stefanik. And Liz Cheney had nothing but great things to say about Donald Trump, you know, and the economy and all that. So I don't know what happened between that little visit on the air and present day, you know. But, you know, Donald Trump, I mean, he came to power at a time when we needed some big problems solved, and he solved them, you know, period. But see, she goes down, boom, over. And on the same day as in yesterday, Joe Biden signs his Inflation Reduction Act. You know, this is a reduced version of the $1.75 trillion Build Back Better plan that he was pushing down our throats last year. And at a time when we're in what is called a mild to moderate recession, could be a very ugly recession if we keep going in the direction that we're going, you know, he sets a figure of $369 billion in climate and energy policies. Now, do you want me to do my rap here about the military again? Our Navy is the smallest that it's been in, you know, probably two or three generations. Ronald Reagan built us up to 600 ships that scared the Chinese to death. Now we don't even have 300. And look at the condition of the world right now. This president is totally blind to it. So he's got $369 billion in climate policies, a 15% corporate minimum tax, he calls it, on companies earning $1 billion a year in a recession. Now, and he's also expecting $124 billion of this funding to come from expanded IRS enforcement, which is blue sky. There's no guarantee that number will be a result of hiring 86,000 new IRS inspectors. You know, that's basically telling all Americans you're a crook. We're gonna go after every one of you. I mean, he won't admit it, so bad economically that he's got to go after people that are alleged IRS offenders to fill in $124 billion in this particular bill that he signed yesterday. That's just completely ludicrous. You know, it's also a flat guarantee that the next president who's going to be a Republican is going to blow this thing to pieces. He'll blow it to pieces. Look at the margin that this passed in the House, this Inflation Reduction Act, 220 to 207. A handful. Every Republican in Congress voted against it, every single one. On the science side, couple of stories. I'll tell you one now. I love it. I mean, I love stories like this. There's a brand new moon rocket, which I've been reading quite a bit about for the last few weeks. It's made it to the launch pad ahead of its debut flight, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. Do you even know about this? This is a 322-foot monster. Liftoff is on August the 29th for a lunar test flight. Nobody's going to be inside except a bunch of mannequins. test dummies that are going to be swarming with sensors to measure radiation and vibration in this capsule that's going to be flying around the moon in a distant orbit for a couple of weeks before heading back down to a splashdown in the Pacific. The whole thing is going to take about 6 weeks. What's the point, Raymond? The point is going back to the moon. The space agency is aiming for a full lunar orbiting flight in the next couple of years and landing a large group of astronauts in 2025. I mean, it's nice to go back to the moon. I mean, we own the damn thing. Now, there's a chance. Well, I want to put this in the form of a question. Is there a chance that some of our private space venturers, there are three, are going to make it to the moon before NASA? And the answer is yes, because secretly, two of them are thinking of coming together to do a lunar endeavor. One of them is obviously the Tesla King. Is the other Mr. Branson or Mr. Amazon? You know, we'll see. In the economy, inflation went down a little bit, but the sales for July were absolutely flat, flatter than a pancake. Gasoline sales fell almost like 2%. Very odd numbers. Monkeypox all over the place. Monkeypox. Now, dogs are getting monkeypox in Western Europe. First case, a dog sleeping in bed with two people who tested positive for monkeypox. Monkeypox, it makes sense in a way. Monkeypox in its genesis began with animal to human. So why not human to animal? I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but Gavin Newsom on water, I told you, his plans are really going to be prickly to the backside of the environmentalists. And they're on it. They're on it. They're on it. Just like a, you know what I'm going to say, a duck on a June bug. The first thing that they went nuts on is the plan to burrow a tunnel in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, part of the two tunnels plan that Brown had. Now it's one. And the very obvious thing, seven new sources for water storage. The left is saying, what's that all about? Desalization, the left loves, but they want to use that kind of money on their pet projects and not on desal. And, you know, changing salt water into potable water. And last but not least, of course, Diablo Canyon. Oh, the humanity keeping that thing open until 2035. One thing we haven't talked about on this program is Prop 27 on the November ballot, online betting. We see both sides represented by Indian tribes. Only a handful backing 27. One of them is kind of unusual. It's the Lemoore Tachioka tribe, which has a major casino on the reservation. You know this, the Tachi Palace, brilliant place. They do not see online betting and that stream of money affecting what they take in, and I will explain further. Unusual for a reservation tribe to be, you know, wanting 27 to pass. And California leading the way in just about everything. The idea of establishing a supervised drug injection site. How many times have we been through this? This has been the longstanding goal for many progressive California leaders. And the efforts to do such a thing has always come close, but it's never gone over the finish line. Now we come to Senate Bill 55, which would authorize what is being called the Overdose Prevention Pilot Program in L.A., San Francisco, and Oakland. Now, we remember, a very similar program was vetoed, shockingly, by Jerry Brown in 2018. What is Gavin Newsom going to do? I don't know. Polio, circulating in New York. A ton of fear that it's going to be showing its nasty head in California. In New York, it's showing up in wastewater. California has plenty of wastewater. So do we need to do something? Do we need to be proactive and do something before it hits California? Or ? And a lot of people studying nuclear war as of late because of Ukraine and Russia, and they come up with a figure that a nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia will kill more than 5 billion people from just starvation. Just starvation killing 5 billion. And I got to hurry along here, but there's a lot of stuff. Twitter. I'm always hard on Twitter. Twitter is a cauldron of hate. I quit a couple of years ago. I keep saying I'm going to go back, and I keep saying I'm going to, you know, get with Devin's organization, Truth, and do that, and I've just been lazy. A Saudi Arabian student from Leeds University in England returned to the home kingdom of Saudi Arabia for a holiday and was given 34 years in prison for having a Twitter account. She's a 34-year-old woman getting 34 years. She has two children. 34 years for having a Twitter account. She was initially sentenced for three. For a law that says it's causing to having a website that causes public unrest and disables civility and national security or something like that. So what the hell was she tweeting, you know? Getting back to the science category very quickly. I've been to Tasmania twice. Tasmania is an incredible small island off of Australia. It's a biological and zoological masterpiece. Animals there evolved on their own, spread nowhere else, and then were hunted to extinction. One of them is being brought back, the Tasmanian tiger, which is not a tiger at all. It's a carnivorous marsupial known scientifically as a thylacine. How are we resurrecting the Tasmanian tiger that's not been seen in years? It's through the de-extinction process. And there's one major de-extinction process that's been going on for a full year, that is restoring the woolly mammoth. What are you talking about, Ray Appleton? This is wild stuff because of my college background in zoology. So, yeah, I'm going to play with that today. And along with the story, not yet confirmed, that Putin's chef, you heard me, chef, was killed in Ukraine. So what would Putin's chef be doing in Ukraine? And is he really a chef? This is a good story. This chef, by the way, has got a very coveted number on the FBI's most wanted list. He's a chef? Maybe not. There it is. 490-5858. As you can see, the docket is full. 800-776-5858. It's the Ray Appleton Program. News Talk 580-1059 KMJ. Now in its 35th year. I'll be right back.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Well, I don't know if the last program, just before me, talked about Liz Cheney, but who cares? Because it's important that I talk about it. Because I liked her. I liked her for a while, and she was especially very likable in that meeting that I talked about earlier in the Minority Leader's office when Mark Capitan and I were broadcasting from the last time that we were in Washington for Donald Trump's State of the Union, his last one that was invited. I was invited very nicely to all of them. One of them I couldn't make because I was sick, but she was in a very positive pro-Trump frame of mind, and then who the hell knows what happened. But immediately following her loss to Harriet Hageman in Wyoming's Republican primary, and it was a smashing defeat, Liz Cheney unveiled her new move, launching a new organization with a primary goal of keeping the former president from regaining the presidency. Now, you talk about a narrow platform. You're forming a whole new organization to keep one man out of public office. Too bad they didn't do that for Adolf Hitler. The group is called The Great Task, as I mentioned, and I do believe that's a phrase from the Gettysburg Address. And Cheney even invoked, the words of President Lincoln in calling for the Republican Party to go back to its roots. Something that she should be doing. We've got to get this party back to its principles and values in which it was founded. She said that on the Today program this morning, claiming that, you know, it had lost its way in focusing too much on Trump and his cult of personality. Well, okay. Let's get back to the founding of the Republican Party. The Republican Party was founded on one thing. One thing, just like she's, you know, forming this organization on one thing. But that one thing was to end slavery. Nothing more at the time. But that was enough at the time. And it worked at the time. So getting back to the principles and values in which we were founded, yeah, sure. Making sure all men are free, you know, liberty and justice for all, which, you know, we weren't the best at for a while after so-called freeing the slaves, and we all know what history has said. But Cheney noted that in the past, she had garnered more than 70% of the votes in her district's primary. And the path to the same victory would have been easy, but she felt it was more important to focus on her opposition to Trump. And those efforts, which included, you know, her working on the Democratic-led House January the 6th committee, that led Trump to backing Hegeman in the primary race. And with 99% of the votes counted early Wednesday morning, she led Cheney by more than 37 points. This was ugly. Quote, there's no political office that's more important than the principles that we take on the oath to defend. And she said that seemingly regretting nothing about her decision to focus on Trump and lose her gig. Moving forward, she said she's going to resume work, you know, in the House until her term ends, and that she and her organization will continue to go after Trump. Quote, I think defeating him is going to require a broad and united front of Republicans, Democrats, and independents, and that's what I intend to be a part of. Now, I think there's much more going on than this, but she says she holds Trump directly responsible for the Capitol riot that took place on January the 6th, 2021. And at one point in the interview, saying that Trump attacked the Capitol. He attacked the Capitol. Then amending that to say he sent a mob to attack the Capitol. And the former president's defenders point out how Trump said in a speech that day that, you know, the protesters of the election results should remain peaceful. That's never brought up. That's never replayed. That's never referred to in print. The audio of that is somehow lost to the ages of time, even though we know it's all there. You know, I brought up the audio the other day. Not the other day. I have to be honest with you. Let's not exaggerate. It was June, thereabouts, to settle an argument with a friend that's a little bit more moderate to liberal than I am. And I played this young lady, this piece about how he said the protesters of the election should remain peaceful. If I ask for any one thing, it's for you to be peaceful, something to that effect. So when asked by Savannah Guthrie if Cheney had lost sight of the issues that her constituents in Wyoming had cared about, she said, and that's a damn good question, she said that as a nation, you don't get the opportunity to debate and discuss any other issue when facing a fundamental threat in our republic. So she dodged that one by saying that her whole thing is about saving the republic, which, you know, apparently wasn't a constituent issue with her folks. And to that end, she made it clear that this is going to be her sole focus. I will do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office. End. Now, when asked if that includes running for president herself in 2024, she said she wasn't ready to make that call, but she says she will make the decision in the coming months. So how does she do that? I'm asking you, how does she do that? With Cheney, you know, accused of abandoning her party, and they've abandoned her. The Republicans want nothing to do with her. Her campaign even courted Democrats, urging them to switch parties so they could vote for her in the primary. Didn't work. She believes that following Trump, this is why the GOP lost its way. She said that Trump betrayed Republican voters and asserted that the party has to return to its core principles of small government, strong defense, low taxes, and family. Wait a minute. Now, maybe the government of Donald Trump wasn't all that small. Strong defense? Uh-huh. Low taxes? Oh, yeah. And family? Yes. Those are the principles I believe in. That's what the party used to stand for, and we've got to get back to that, she said. That's not that far off from where the former president would hang his hat. So I don't, it's confusing. First off, it's disappointing to me. I am a huge fan of her father. Okay? Now, he had shortcomings in the eyes of a number of you, but not with me. As a functioning, hands-on number two, he was the greatest in history as a genuine vice president of the United States, not just the spare standing in the corner in case the number one gets too sick or gets killed or whatever. No, he was a hands-on vice president, working with the president to do a number of things. And this is one thing I admired about George W. Bush. Though he wasn't the greatest president of the United States, he was not afraid to pronounce his own shortcomings and, you know, defer to his vice president, who originally was hired by the Bush campaign to find a vice president candidate, as you remember. And then finally, GW said, well, why not you? Why not you? And Dick Cheney said, you know, basically on one condition, I'm not going to be just a spare. I want to go to work. And I appreciated that. I'm getting a little off track here. And one would think that his daughter would have some of the same principles in at least supporting the President of the United States. Which she didn't do.
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton podcast or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
So we come back to an age-old, well, not really age-old, but it's getting age-old, situation where somebody, you know, just falls on their sword and dies because of their hate for Trump. I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, first off, he hasn't been convicted of anything horrible as of yet. Oh, but he's been impeached twice. Well, yeah, I mean, the second time, you impeach somebody when they're not a president? How does that work? How the hell does that work? You know, that was the biggest dog and pony show, I think, in America's history. And will go down as a gag, a joke in the history books forever down the road. But there's just such hate for this individual, especially from other politicians. Why? Why? They did it the hard way. They started off as a little councilman, and then they became an assemblyman in their state, and then they went on to become, you know, a dutiful representative of the House of Representatives, and then they moved into the Senate. Then all of a sudden, they went back home and became governor, and then they were able to move into the presidency. This is part of it. Donald Trump, who was never elected to be anything, runs for the presidency and wins and beats a very popular Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton. People just couldn't handle it that were in office, Republicans and Democrats. They just couldn't handle it. The jealousy, the rage, because he did it when they couldn't, was overwhelming. And there's a lot of that going on still to this day. And then it's Donald Trump. He's idiosyncratic. He covers his bald spot by side parting his hair in a goofy way. He acts different. He looks different. He's not presidential. Why would you expect him to be? He's a businessman. He's a hard-chiseled granite businessman. You can't expect somebody like that to be presidential. Even after being president for 4 years, it's not going to change him that quick. So you get what you pay for. We voted for him. We got it. And what did we get? We got action. We got a lot of action. A lot of action that cannot be duplicated by anybody sitting in office to this date. And we got a lot of lip service, which we didn't like because of that lack of being presidential. But that's just who he is. And yet, from day one, when he announced, to right this second, there are individuals that just vilify him. And you know, those people who hate him the most are the sitting politicians. I've never seen anything like it. It's not constituents. It's not individuals out there running do-gooder groups or whatever. It's individuals in office. They hate him. Why? Why? For the reasons I've mentioned and what else? And in this particular case of Liz Cheney, somebody who was a powerful, popular representative of the House of Representatives, gets blown out by 37 points by somebody who's supported by Donald Trump. Donald Trump, like him or not, is still the face of the Republican Party and is showing this by everybody he seems to touch seems to be winning their office. I mean, what has he lost? Three of them so far out of the many he's ordained to be whatever? So the guy still has got juice, and he could be the next president of the United States again. You know, I'll never forget what Michael Germanuel Jr. said the other day on the program. You know, I didn't want him to run, but I've changed my mind. And that was after the raid on Mar-a-Lago. I mean, the other side has gone so far, they've come full circle from trying to dump him to making him the next president by their actions. I know so many people who have said the same thing that Michael has said, or have texted me or emailed me or messaged me on Facebook. You know, I wasn't going to vote for him. You know, I wasn't going to support him. You know, I didn't want him to run. You know, I really wanted DeSantis, but yeah. And I have high hopes for DeSantis too. I really do. I hope he winds up somewhere doing something, if indeed Donald Trump is the next president again. We'll see. Still, it's unusual. Both of them from Florida. You know, Donald with his business there now. Yeah, I know. So anyway, that's basically all I have to say about Liz Cheney. I've never seen somebody, you know, fall on their sword and kill themselves politically over one person, one, you know, just, no, you know. I mean, the one thing that she should have done is just kept her mouth shut and run against him. If she's got a point to prove about how rank and horrible he is and how much better she is, then that's it. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your position as a respected congresswoman, and then run against him. But no, she had to go down in flames, which really hurts her position even that much more for running for the presidency, because now she's a has-been. She loses a race by 37 points. And that whole push to get Democrats to change parties to vote for her in the primary, what a miserable failure that was. So, okay, the Republicans no longer want her, and the Democrats are not listening to her. She's got nothing. Nothing. And it's a shame, because before she had something and some great lineage, in my opinion. And now that's not even worth anything, as far as Liz Cheney goes. This is KMJ. I'm Ray Appleton. You got anything to say about this? Well, then say it. Now, 490-5858. Toll free from anywhere in the state of California. If you're listening online across the country, sure. Especially if you're in Wyoming. 800-776-5858. I'll be right back.
Miss the show?
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast. Get Ray Appleton right now. It's free. Or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
I've always been puzzled by that term, Ray Appleton is live now. I know that means, you know, not recorded, but I always think of it in terms of Ray Appleton is dead now, you know, live and in concert. Well, of course, if you're going to see, never mind. It's like Jumbo Shrimp. It's not like George Carlin now. Dirk, welcome to KMJ. Hi.
How's it going?
It's going.
Well, I'm really glad that Liz failed, and that's a good thing for America, right?
Possibly, yeah.
It's horrible what she said about the president. I couldn't believe it. Anyways, I want to thank all your listeners, and hopefully this goes a lot farther than Fresno, and we'll turn out to vote.
Well, I think, okay, Dirk, thank you. It makes a statement that, is it worth it to blow an entire career over just one person that you have no control over their actions, you know? and forming a group specifically to go after that particular person, which I think is ridiculous, because if you're going to form a group politically, okay, is it going to be a Democratic group or is it going to be a Republican group? And it's hard to come up with anything that's an independent group that's everybody's on the same page, you know, regardless of what you think. Like I say, it's still team sports in this country. She doesn't have a team right now, legitimately, and she may never have one again. Troy, you're on KMJ. What's up?
Hey. Yeah, Ray, I was wondering, with her losing her seat, is she off the investigation council as well?
I don't know. You mean the investigation council? You mean this whole January the 6th thing?
Yeah, correct.
No, she wouldn't be. I mean, that's a voluntary thing. That's a by appointment. So, yeah, it wasn't appointed by her own party. So, that remains, I'm sure, intact. Now, as you know, when she started all this anti-Trump crap, she was removed from all of her Republican assignments. They zapped her on those. So she doesn't have that anymore. She doesn't have anything anymore. I mean, she's just what we call a lame duck, sir. A lame duck. Tracy.
Hey, Ray. You know, I think everybody tries to, you know, make this a very complicated issue. And I think what happened with Liz Cheney is that she didn't like the fact that her daddy was being criticized so much by Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not like Dick Cheney.
No. Nope.
At least, you know, he didn't like him at all. Cheney, to some degree, probably earned some of the problems he had with Iran-Contra. And I don't want to get – I think he was a great vice president. And maybe he thought he had to do what he did, or, you know, that's another subject for another day. But nonetheless, there was a lot of criticism, and frankly, a lot of it by Democrats as well, about Dick Cheney's actions in Iran-Contra. So Liz Cheney, I think, took it to heart, and somehow she thought she was going to become very powerful by doing this. And Liz made a big mistake. That was not going to happen. The only person, and I don't really like this person when I name her, that I would say is probably one of the most powerful women in the country is Nancy Pelosi. Okay, and a lot of people aspire to be her, and Nancy Pelosi knows how to run the game, and she's got a lot of people on her side. And Liz Cheney thought she was going to find some friends in the Democratic Party, and they're going to throw her under the bus as soon as they're done with her.
Yep.
So I think that Liz was really pissed off about the fact that, that Donald Trump really did not like Dick Cheney. That's as simple as it comes, and she basically wasted her whole career.
Yeah, you may be right about that. I haven't really given that aspect of her persona and her war against Donald Trump that thought that maybe this was all about daddy. Donald Trump, you know, I mean, again, his mouth going after past presidents and all that, there's that still that unwritten rule. You show them respect and you keep your mouth shut. Excuse me for being a purist and old-fashioned. I wish that was something that he'd adhere to, you know, but you know, he wasn't the first person to go down that road and break that. I mean, that was Bill Clinton, you know, and from Bill Clinton on, anybody with a D after the name, with the exception of Trump, you know, just says it, regardless of how they feel about an ex-president with an R after their name. They say what they feel, rather than just, you know, walking that high road with a little bit of, you know, dignity and decorum, which I wish they still would. All right, Scott, you're next on KMJ. Hi.
Hi. So I was just thinking about a couple of things. I'm going back in time, but go back to the election when Clinton was going against Bush.
Yeah.
And we had Perot in there as well.
Yeah.
I could see Cheney going in as being an independent and really kind of mucking it up for Trump again. And yeah, that's one way that she could actually get back into it.
Oh, I'm sure that's what she's thinking.
There, but
No. Good point. Go on.
Hey, something else I wanted to bring up. This is off subject a little bit, but I was just looking at the numbers. I really like numbers because numbers don't lie. You know that the last election had 165 million voters?
Yeah.
Every election before that, prior to that, was only 127 million. I think Obama's was one of the highest in 2008, where we were at close to 130 million. So we had 35 extra million people that came in this past election.
I have had a hard problem with that since day one.
Yeah.
for the reasons that you're alluding to and not saying. Thank you. How could so many people, unless the hate for Donald Trump was really genuinely that big, and I've underestimated it, vote for a Joe Biden in numbers like that? I just have a very hard time with that. Got a couple of minutes left here. George, it's all yours. Hi.
Yes, hi, Ray. Yeah, you know, this is the thing that disturbs me with everything going on around the world today, you know, and when things don't go your way, or, you know, things will happen to you, or you get defeated, you know, the new norm, I will say, you know what? Blame Trump. Trump has to blame for everything. You know, it's frustrating, and it's just everything's blame on Trump. And, you know, everybody has their stories, what he's done good and what he's done bad. You know, and I'm listening to your show, Ray. You know, he's the guy that did a lot of good things, but everything goes haywire, goes south. Everybody blames Trump, and I just get tired of that.
And that's what's going to reelect him, because people are tired of him being responsible for cancer, responsible because his garbage, you know, my garbage wasn't picked up, responsible because my cat got hit by a car. You know, I mean, that's how silly it is with Donald Trump. He's just the bane of everybody's problems, but they tend to forget when he was president, there were more jobs available than there were people to take them, because everybody had a gig. The economy was rock solid compared to now. The stock market was rocking and rolling. The world was at peace. No ISIS, no Al-Qaeda, no nothing. You know, Putin was emasculated. Putin was castrated politically. Putin couldn't do anything because of his fear as Donald Trump. President Xi in China, same thing, kept him at arm's length, but, you know, come on. These are things that you cannot deny happened. They happened. So there. Now what? Keep blaming him. Hour number two coming up.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.